Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Victoria Gaither, and this is Talk Conversation in News and International Connection Media on Blog Talk Radio. Also joining me on the show today is my counterpart sitting there in Foxton Beach, New Zealand, Stu Frith. Stu, good morning to you, my friend.
Yeah, hello, Vicky. Hello from Foxton Beach to all the world out there. It's nice to be with you on a windy morning here in Foxton.
And I was going to ask you, what was the weather like? So you guys there in New Zealand, did you tell me a few days ago, in the North Island, they're going to get some serious snow and some serious weather moving through?
Yes, the South Island is the island that's meant to get it, and there was talk somewhere along the line about it dropping down to 14 degrees, minus 14 degrees. Now, I've never heard of this before, and they reckon it did happen many years ago, and it happened, it was that cold that the chooks were actually frozen to the perches in the fowl houses. So it's pretty terrible, isn't it? So I hope we don't get it for the sake of the animals anyway.
Yeah, that is terrible, and of course, you being a retired farmer, you would have to know about what would go into having to secure all of these animals if you got temperatures to drop that badly. I mean, you would have, like you said, the chooks and the sheep. And so what do you do in a case like that, Stu? Do you have to find a place to try to bring them in?
I suppose, well, you'd have to house them, of course, but how you house them all, I don't know. On a farm, that's a big ask, isn't it? You know, so I honestly don't know. You're asking somebody that doesn't know anything.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you, my friend, for trying to answer it. Again, if you're just joining the conversation, I am Victoria. That was Stu Frith. Stu is joining us. He is a New Zealand broadcaster. So he and I generally do a show every Wednesday at 5:30 USA Eastern Standard Time, which is 9:30 on Thursday morning for Stu there in New Zealand. Stu, it's been a few weeks that we have actually been off air, and that's because of some personal things, of course, that have been happening behind the scenes in my life. But we are back and hoping that you can join us every single week again for news talk and information on Blog Talk Radio. Stu, we've got a few topics that we need to get through this morning, so I guess I better get going. The first thing that I know you have been seeing on your television screens there in New Zealand, of course, was the killing of George Floyd, and it was a white police officer who took his knee and kneeled on his neck. And, of course, that act of him doing that sparked protests not only in America but overseas and around the world. Even there, Stu, in New Zealand, I think it was in Auckland, or was it in Wellington, they had a huge demonstration of about 4,000 people that came out in support of George. Australia has held demonstrations. So it is amazing, and Stu, we've talked about this before, how something that can happen here in America or in Hong Kong or anywhere in the world, how the entire globe rallies around that cause and seeks and asks for change and justice.
Yeah, true. And anything to do with the ethnic people, of course, you know, like South Africans and the Australian ethnic people, the Aborigines and the Maoris in New Zealand, that race, they come out very strong when it is requiring support, put it that way, you know? What's been happening, of course, is absolutely disgusting. And not only with George, you know, God bless his soul, not only with George, but there's just so much going on. It's unbelievable, isn't it? You know, and hell, where's that going to end? I don't know. I can't see how they're going to solve the problem, really.
Well, hopefully through legislation. Now, one thing you can't legislate, and that's hearts. and that's how people feel about African Americans. That's how people feel about blacks. That's how people feel about people of color around the world. That you can't legislate. So I, you know, would say to white America, to European Americans all around the world, that, you know, a basic place that you can start is in your own house, at your own kitchen table, and have conversations, you know, with your children, your family members, and discuss these things. Because the reality is, unless you discuss it, unless America, you know, gets this sort of monkey off its back and get it out there, talk about it, talk about slavery, talk about minorities, talk about disparities, talk about institution racism. Unless you talk about it and you really have a conversation about it, I think it's going to be hard-pressed for things to change. But I am happy to see that George's brother was on Capitol Hill, and he spoke today to senators and congressmen about police agencies around America. Police agencies are already actually defunding some agencies, just saying, look, you know, if you can't police the right way and get yourselves together, why should we fund these basically institutions that's killing black men, that's killing people? And I'm totally on board with that. So, you know, I'm hoping that something good comes as a result of this. Stu, you may have seen on television, on the news there, here in Washington, D.C., our mayor, as well as some black activists, wrote the Black Lives Matter on the street that's leading up to the White House. So that is absolutely historical proportion. So to be in Washington and for me to see all of that happening, you know, is something that my grandmother and my mom, who are dead and gone, would have never believed something like that would be able to happen. But I'm also seeing different murals of George popping up around the world with his picture. So certainly he represents a symbol of hope, and he represents everything that's wrong with the system. So we're going to keep everybody up to date on that. I've got some photos of my own that I've taken that I'm going to release pretty soon. So just look for that on my page. Stu may share them on his page, but yeah, we're always following that, and we'll keep you up to date on anything that I hear or anything that I know as well. But Stu, we're going to switch subjects, and we are going to talk about the reopening of New Zealand and the reopening of America. Congratulations, Kiwis. Congratulations, Stu, and to all New Zealanders, because you have succeeded. As of today that we speak, there are no new coronavirus cases in New Zealand. And I'm told, or I read, that Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, when she found that out, did a bit of a happy dance. So congratulations, Stu.
Yeah, it's of course, it was a great recipe for success, wasn't it? 5 million people all doing the same thing, and that's what cured the problem, really. You know, it wasn't just one person, it was 5 million. So congratulations to New Zealand, absolutely fantastic. As far as Jacinda Ardern doing a happy dance, well, we've yet to see it. She told us she did it, but she won't prove it to anybody, and so it's gone underground, put it that way.
I'm hoping that one day that she will release it, because I would love to see Jacinda Ardern during the happy dance, and I think the world would love to see her during the happy dance. You know, if you think about it, and this is aside from politics, but some people say you can never take politics out of anything. You know, for her being a young prime minister, she's had a lot on her plate. I mean, she's had the Christchurch mosque shooting. She's dealt with the coronavirus. She had the explosion there at the island. She's had a few domestic issues there that she's had to tackle. So, you know, she's had a lot to deal with, hasn't she?
She sure has, yes. And it's been a full plate for all the way through. And, you know, with the criticism, whether it be good or bad, she just keeps on pushing ahead and keeps on going. She's always got the smile on her face. So that's the big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's true. She, despite all the criticism that she takes, and I can't still figure out why she gets criticized, but I'm not the people that's during the criticizing of her. Yeah, you're right. She constantly pushes ahead. She's always walking forward. She's always looking straight ahead. She's never looking back, and I think that's a lesson that all of us can take, whether you are a supporter of hers or not. The other thing that has been happening, I know not only in New Zealand but even here in America, lots of stores are going to be closing as a result of the coronavirus and not having regular business. Restaurants, major stores here in America. I know the warehouse there, over 1,000 workers are going to lose their job. Jeweler Michael Heal is going to be closing four of his stores. So, yeah, and I guess, you know, unfortunately, that's sort of the cost of business for the coronavirus, isn't it, that these stores and businesses are going to be shutting down. But it is very sad, though, isn't it?
It is sad, and especially when you get into the big businesses that have got the finance behind them, really. You know, they're old businesses, so they should have the finance behind them. There's no reason why they can't keep going unless they've been taking world trips and spending up large. But, yeah, it's sad, and I heard on the radio, Talkback Radio the other day, that they reckon it'll be 2021 when things are back to normal again. Well, that's not very far away, is it? You know,
it's not. Around. Yeah, so, no, you're right about that. It isn't. And of course, here in America, we've basically been slowly been open for business, quite frankly, for the last two or three weeks. Businesses in my area have been opening, and you can go and eat outdoors at restaurants. So it is going to be interesting because a lot of the states have relaxed their rules. So scientists and doctors are saying that we will look to mid-July to see if this relaxing of the rules is going to mean an increase of coronavirus cases. So, you know, I think everybody's sort of holding their breath, so to speak. But you are still required in most states in America that if you go into a grocery store, you have to have a mask on. If you're going, you know, to enter a business, you have to have a mask on. So those restrictions are still in place, as well as practicing social distancing. There was one restaurant at a beach here in Maryland in Ocean City. Husband and wife comes to sit down at this restaurant, and they felt like the tables were too close. He literally takes out a measuring stick, measures the tables, yeah, and finds out that they weren't 6 feet apart, went to the manager and told the manager, and the manager literally had to ask everybody after they were done eating. They stopped seating people, and he redid all the tables. So people are pretty serious about this over here, some people.
Yeah, some people, and yet then they'll turn around and walk up the street and shake somebody's hand. So, you know, it's very two-sided, isn't it? You know, and some people can make a real big fuss over something very small and with no gain, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I thought it was rather strange that this person was walking around with a measuring tape. I mean, I don't, you know, unless you're a builder or a contractor, and I don't think if they're going out to dinner, even they're walking around with a measuring tape. But yeah, but anyway, yeah. I thought that was a bit strange. But yeah, that was the story there on that. And speaking of food and eating out, food prices in America have really shot through the roof. I don't know what it's like in New Zealand. I would suspect food has gone up in New Zealand as well. But I tell you what, food prices have really, really gone up. And in some cases, it's probably warranted, distribution, lack of workers and all different things. But, yeah, I've really noticed that. What about there in New Zealand? Now, food is always high in New Zealand, but have you noticed that at all, Stu?
No, well, not really. Well, food's always dear, and you've got to have it, so you pay it, don't you? But I see the horticultural side of it, the shopping for cabbages, fruit, and all that sort of stuff, it's on a high, it's riding a high. Kiwi fruit has got a massive boom going on at the moment, and they are super excited about all what's happening there. And now, of course, the working force is coming back into order again. So, yeah, look out. Kiwi fruit is going to come your way very cheap.
Yeah. And, in fact, it's funny that you mentioned that about kiwi fruit, because I was in the grocery store a couple of days ago and I saw some of my favorite Sun Gold kiwi fruit from New Zealand. So we're still getting some of that kiwi fruit over there from New Zealand to inside of our grocery stores, which is fantastic. And I want to, while we're on the subject of food, talk about a scones recipe, because if any of you ever listen to Stu and I, he is a fantastic cook. He makes the best scones and just food in general. So, Stu, I saw this one. This is called a carrot and parsnip oat scones. So you've got your regular all-purpose flour, a cup of old-fashioned oats. You've got granular sugar, baking powder, pumpkin pie spice mix, okay, heavy cream, eggs, carrots, parsnips, currants or raisins, and confectioner's sugar and maple syrup. So I don't know if all of that means anything to you, because, you know, I'm not a baker, so I wouldn't know. But it was the picture that got me interested in it, and they look absolutely delicious, these scones.
The thing that gets me about these scones, you know, they say they're the best scones ever. But I'll tell you what, a scone couldn't be a failure when you look at the ingredients they put into it, maple syrup and all this carry on. It can't be a failure, can it? You know, even if the scone didn't rise, it's still going to be damn good eating, you know. So we'll see what happens. But the disappointing part is you see these recipes, and there's many of them, of course, out there on the media that are coming, popping up all the time. But you've got to go to the grocery shop so you can demo make them. You just can't go and make them out of your everyday kitchen cupboard, can you? You've got to go and buy all these extra ingredients, you know. And that way they're not cheap. They're not cheap at all.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true, because in this case, you've got to have the currants or the raisins, and you've got to have the parsnips, that heavy cream, and the old-fashioned oats, so and this pumpkin pie spice mix. So those three things alone, you know, if you don't happen to have that around the house yet, you've got to buy that specifically just for this recipe. So yeah, no, you're right about that. That's for sure. And like you said before, some of these recipes, you know, once you start adding them up, and you're adding this and that, they can get quite expensive.
Yeah, that's dead right. You know, and really, scones have always been a cheap morning out or afternoon tea recipe. You know, and now you turn around and adding all these ingredients. Well, goodness me, it's like going out for dinner, isn't it? It's just so expensive.
Yes, it is. But anyway,
I don't understand is that they come up with things like heavy cream. Well, what the hell's light cream? Well, we got cream, full stop. That's it. Heavy cream and light cream. What's the difference? I don't know.
Yeah, would it be the I guess the content within the milk? I'm not really sure, but yeah, it's very common, of course, in grocery stores here in America. You do have in the cream section, you've got heavy cream or light cream. Maybe the amount of fat content inside. I wouldn't have a clue. You know, I'm not a baker, so I wouldn't have a clue.
No, I don't either. You know, and that proves another thing too, that I'm not a baker either.
if you're just joining us, we are. If you are just joining us, thanks a lot for taking some time to be with us today. I am American journalist Victoria Gaither, and my counterpart sitting there in Foxton Beach, New Zealand, is Stu Frith. Stu is a broadcaster there, and Stu loves country music. Speaking of country music, I went to a Zumba class, which is on my list to talk about today, and after Zumba was over, they had a line country dancing group that do this twice a week, and they were actually pretty good. Now, I've seen a lot of line dancers, and I just thought, oh my goodness, you guys need to practice way, way more than what you're doing. But these ladies actually had it together. You know, the music was nice. They were all in step. You've seen quite a few line country dancing videos. In fact, I know you've posted some on your Facebook page. Well, what makes a really good line dancing video to you, Stu?
Quick movement and the beat of the music and everything else. And, you know, how they get it all together is absolutely awesome, you know. And you see some very large people at times up there doing country dancing, you know, doing the line dance. Mm-hmm. But I take my hats off to them because they're not sitting around the table at home with their feet up on the chair, sucking on a bottle of wine. They're up doing something, you know. So yeah, hats off to them for trying to do something. Good on them.
I totally agree. And one of the things that I love about just line dancing in period, whether it's a country or not, I just love seeing a group of people all together in uniform. They're all going the same way, you know, and also that they're just having fun at it. So when I see that, it just puts a smile on my face. We would have seen quite a few line country dancing there in our travels in New Zealand. So you've got some really good dancers there in New Zealand, I think. So that's always, always fun to watch. Now, Stu, speaking of my Zumba class, I have decided that I'm not going back to the gym yet. I just don't feel comfortable going inside the gym. So I have found classes outside at different parks. So I found a woman who teaches a Zumba class, So I went there this morning, and I looked, and I just thought, oh, this lady's probably going to be a bit slow. Now, this is my bias, so I'm just going to throw it out there. She was probably in her, I would say, late 60s. So I just thought, man, she's not going to move fast, but, you know, I've already signed up for it. I'm just going to go ahead and do this class. At the most, I'm with a group of ladies. I'll have a great time. Well, listen, let me tell you, by the third song, she had me huffing and puffing. I had to leave and go get a drink of water. She wore me out. So this is a perfect example of never judge a book by its cover. And she's one of the best Zumba instructors that I have ever had. And, yeah, so she wore me out, Stu. She totally wore me out. I was exhausted after her class.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah, as you're right, as you say, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Before we just move on too far away, I saw a posting this morning from a young lady over there in America, and her name was Sarah Darling. And she was quite often puts up a report, and she put up a beautiful report this morning about what it's been like with the lockdown and everything, and how she's met coloured people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And her whole opinion has changed, and she's absolutely thrilled to meet them, how friendly they are, and the kids and everything are all smiling. She said now she's really going out of her way to make contact with these people because she feels that they're so good to be in touch with. So isn't that lovely?
That is lovely, you know, and I applaud her for making the decision to put herself out there to try to meet people of color, to try to meet somebody who's different, who doesn't look like her, who may not sound like her. You know, all of those things matter. I had a woman who sent me an email, and she's a white woman, and she said to me, hey, you know, if you're ever in the area and if you like want to go for a walk with me, I'd love to go for a walk. Well, you know, for her, I thought that was fantastic because that was her first time ever reaching out to a black person. So small steps matter, you know. So, you know, me on the other end, I'm excited that she decided that she wanted to email me and that she felt comfortable and bold enough to do it. So we haven't decided when we're going to do it yet, but we are going to do it. So I think this is an example of what you're talking about. And listen, I assure you, if you're a white person and you reach out to a black person, I assure you that they would be more than happy on the other end to say, yes, let's get together, let's talk about things. So don't feel shy or, you know, awkward to ask, because if your heart is in it, then, and if your heart is in the right place, I just believe that only good will come from it, Stu.
I think so too. I quite agree with you. You know, as I found when I came to America, you know, the race was absolutely awesome to me. You know, they treated me like I was God. I'm not God, of course. You know, I can't even bake a song. But yeah, it was amazing. You know, and I could never have enough good things to say about African Americans, because they just treated me like, you know, everything. But as you and I found out when we went. When we were in Washington and we went down to that old car
Lowe's.
Know, and how we were standing there talking to all these old gentlemen, you know, and this really shocked me. And I was standing there talking to these old gentlemen who had all these beautiful old cars and everything, and they were chatting away quite reasonable, you know. And then when you turned up and stood there beside me, they just shut up like books. And I thought, wow, that just blows my mind away. You know,
Well, and that was a good thing, and Stu, that was the good thing, and you know, you're a great person to have this conversation with, even with if Kiwis want to have this conversation with you, because you spent 7 weeks in America, so you got a chance to experience a lot. You know, you got a chance to be around African Americans, you got a chance to be around Latinos, so any perception that you would have had, whether it was from TV or just not knowing about black people, all of that was shattered because you got to eat and ask questions and have a wonderful time. And, yeah, so unfortunately that was a horrible experience, but I was happy that you experienced that, because you get to see that, you know, when black people are saying that things are different for us, you know, we're just not imagining these things. We just aren't making them out of the blue. We're not using the race card. You know, you had a drastic experience of when you were there talking to all of those white guys at that car show. They were so interested. They were happy to talk to you. Welcome to America. And as soon as I turned around and I showed up and I said a few things, they all completely shut down, was not no more less interested in you and me. And yeah, and you felt that, didn't you? You could feel that.
Yeah, it was disgusting, you know, and for old gentlemen like they were, you know, they're all chaps who are retired and that, and just living out their days with the old vintage cars and that, you know. I don't see it so that necessary for people to carry on like that. It's disgusting, absolutely disgusting. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there and enlighten people how some people can be outright mongrels.
Yeah, well, listen, I certainly thank you for talking about your experience. I wasn't going to push you to talk about it, so I'm glad that you came forward and you wanted to add to that conversation and get your views out there and what your experience was. And I always remember that you saying to me that when you came to America, that most of the people or all the people that gave you the most warm feeling were black people, were people of color, you know, who treated you like you were their family. And in some cases, some of these people didn't even know that you were with me or that we had a connection. So they weren't just being nice to you because of Victoria the News Lady. They were just being nice to you to say, hey, you know, welcome to America. How's your experience? So I always remember, you know, you saying that the black people that you encountered, whether it was in California, D.C., North Carolina, consistent across the board, they were very friendly to chat with, engaged you, and always had a joke or laugh.
Yeah, dead right. They're always keen to hear about Kiora, weren't they, you know?
Yes, yeah. Mm, they were very, 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 very keen to hear about New Zealand and Kiora. So we've got one other thing that I need to actually mention, and we're going to end on this gentleman, Lionel Richie, Stu. I know you know Lionel Richie because you would have played some of his music when it came to all of your radio experience. Well, he's come out with some exciting news. He hasn't been out there in the public eye in terms of music for a while, but he is going to be maybe doing the soundtrack to a new movie that's going to be coming out. So outside of course, all the politics and day-to-day business taking place in America, I was excited to hear that and was excited for him. So I'm looking forward to that because I think most people around the world would know Lionel Richie. Would you say so, Stu?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm sure they would. But Lionel Richie, he must be getting a few years on now, too.
Yeah, I tell you what, he is, but when I had to do a little research for the story that I just mentioned, he still looks fantastic because I Googled, you know, the most up-to-date photo of him, and this is a guy who looks like he just, in the last 20 years, like he has rarely aged at all. He looks fantastic. So, Lionel Richie, whatever you're doing, my friend, keep doing it, and let me and Stu know what you're doing so we can do the same thing.
Yeah, don't be too long about it either.
No. So with that said, Stu and I are going to end the show, and I have chosen All Night Long. So thank you guys so much for joining us and for listening to us. And we hope to be back with you next week. Stu, would you like to say goodbye before I play All Night Long?
Yeah, I'd just like to say to you all from New Zealand, I hope everybody's come down and has a peaceful week. And I look forward to being back with you again next week.
Fantastic. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We're going to end with All Night Long from Lionel Richie.
Let the music play on, play on, play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta.